I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Spark My Muse comes out every Tuesday morning, but every Tuesday evening at Eastern Standard Time, or GMT-4, we have a live, interactive, online discussion at blab.im/LisaDeLay. Please join us whether you plan to lurk, listen and learn, or share some of your own stories.
I'm very happy to welcome today Melissa Wilson from The Grass Gets Greener. And Melissa has transformed her bullying situation that she experienced in her past and helping others overcome some of their painful past. So welcome, Melissa. I wanted to have you on because I was really inspired by your story of not just surviving, but thriving and advocating for people who've suffered abuse. And I think it's a really neat thing to put into the world, make the world a better place than when you came in, to try to make it a better place when you leave. And I was inspired by that. So I was kind of interested in what was the impetus for actually reaching out in that way and doing a website and a podcast.
Sure. Well, for me, I would say, you know, things really started turning around when I went to college. And then I started to sort of learn more about myself, you know, and figure out who I was and who I wanted to be. And I realized, you know, I still had a lot of healing that I needed to do. So I spent a lot of time just, you know, working on that and getting the help that I needed. And then, you know, eventually I got to a point where I started thinking about helping other people, you know, about that, like actually being a possibility, because for a long time it wasn't even, you know, anywhere on my radar. The idea of putting myself out there and sharing my story and trying to help others who were going through what I went through was just really a scary thought for me. But then, yeah, I just gradually through just healing myself, I was able to get to that point. And initially, actually, what I was originally going to do was write a book. I was going to share my story that way. And then I just started, following some people online and seeing what people were doing and started listening to podcasts. And I said, you know, maybe I should put myself out there and do something online and create my own website. And so I just ended up going down that path, and really one thing kind of led to another. And I started working on my website and got that launched in April of 2014. And then I just, you know, I was doing some blogging, and then I started thinking about podcasting. And in October of last year, I launched my podcast, The Grass Gets Greener. And unfortunately, I haven't been blogging much since then, because it's definitely kept me busy. But but it's been a great experience, and I've been doing that. So it's going to be, you know, a year coming up here pretty soon, and it's been great. And so it's been growing a lot this past year, and it's been a great experience, and it's been very rewarding for me. And you know, I've had people reaching out to me, people like yourself, you know, and saying, hey, I love what you're doing. Thanks for doing this. And it's been great. And I'm glad that I've done it, you know, and that I am doing it. And I just looking forward to continuing to put stuff out there to help people going forward.
Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because you had to kind of fight off your fear and, you know, risk being really vulnerable about some of the most painful stuff that had happened to you. But then by doing that, it touched all these other people's lives who then contacted you. And I'm sure that people say, this is my story too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And when people contact me and, you know, give me that feedback, I mean, that's what really keeps me going. You know, if I'm having a bad day, or maybe I got a negative comment somewhere or something, I look to those things, and I look to the people that have reached out to me and people who have left, you know, reviews for the podcast and things like that. And that really motivates me to keep going and to keep putting myself out there and to face those fears, you know, because they're still there.
Right, right. They never, ever fully go away. We don't have to like, listen to them as much. But so I'm wondering, now the show you just had on was a girl who had been really, really traumatized by her mom. And I listened to that. I could only listen to a little bit of it. It was really disturbing and, but yet very powerful too. And I'm interested too in kind of, I know what happens to people sometimes with really bad experiences is that they become identified completely with that experience. But sometimes transforming from survivor, which sounds positive at first, and then you realize, you know, well, it's just surviving, right? And then moving on to thriving, and then even advocating. Those are the other steps that sometimes don't happen as people are feeling. And so I know you've concentrated a lot on that, and you provide resources for people who are going through things. You provide those resources at your website. But, you know, what would you say to somebody who is still sort of trapped in the identity of this happened to me, and it's difficult for them to get past that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, there's nothing wrong with being a survivor, right? I mean, because that's sort of the first step. And that means that you've made it, you know, you didn't let what happened to you, really get the best of you. But of course, you know, it's not necessarily the best place that you can be. You can get to a better place beyond that as well. But it's hard, you know, it's hard and it takes time and it takes a lot of work. But I would say, you know, for anyone who is really kind of feels stuck, you know, and they want to get past that and they want to become more of a thriver. They want to move on from what happened to them. They want to put it behind them and they really want to start living and take their lives back. I would say, you know, the most important thing is to work on yourself. You have to take care of yourself. You have to figure out what you need and really just break it down, figure out, you know, where you're having problems, where you're getting stuck, what you're still hung up on, and really work on that. Really just intentionally work on that. And, you know, sometimes it means having to go talk to someone, and that's okay, you know. But just figure out what that is and do that and take care of yourself. Because you can't help anyone else until you help yourself first. And That's really the most important thing. And then, you know, you figure out what you need to do from there. And then you can start, once you start working on the issues that you're having and the limiting beliefs and whatever it is that's holding you back, then you can start focusing on the things that you want to do, the things that you want to start adding to your life, you know, things that are going to make your life more fulfilling. That's going to bring you that happiness. And then I think, you know, once you start adding things to your life, to making it more of sort of what you envision and what you ultimately want your life to look like, then you can start getting into that realm of feeling like you're thriving and not just surviving. Because I see it more as like when you're stuck and something is holding you back, you're kind of, and if that's because of, you know, someone that has hurt you, then you're kind of, you're at that point, you're sort of living your life in response to what happened, in response to what was done to you. But when you can start moving forward, now you're really just living for you and you're living for what you want. And that's what's going to just take you to that next level. But like I said, I mean, you know, it's not easy and it's definitely, takes a lot of work, but I like to believe that it's possible. I mean, because because I was able to make that transition, and definitely something worth fighting for.
And that brings up a really interesting point about forgiveness, which I would like you to expound on how forgiveness played a part in your healing process and what it looks like for you. When I've done research and writing on forgiveness, one of the things that was really key in my improved understanding of it was how if someone's hurt us, we can't help but, of course, we can't help but feel upset and feel embittered or something like that. And that forgiveness isn't something we do for them that lets them off. It's something that we do for us that lets us stop carrying that pain. And it cancels a debt, but not because they deserve it, but because we don't deserve to keep shouldering that burden and that pain anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, how did forgiveness play a part in your recovery process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, forgiveness has been huge for me. And like you say, forgiveness is something that is for us. It's not for who hurt us. But it took me a long time to realize that. I mean, to be honest, like I only realized that like a couple of years ago. And because of that, you know, I had a lot of anger and resentment before then, and that was really harmful to me. That was definitely holding me back. So when it finally clicked for me that forgiveness was for me and not for them, that's when I was really able to just to let a lot of it go and really let a lot of the anger and resentment go. And that really helped to set me free, you know, and basically release the shackles that had been around me, you know. So it's definitely a big part of how I feel today and how I'm sort of at peace with things. But I know it's definitely a tricky topic, and a lot of people struggle with it, and they feel like, you know, if you forgive someone, then it means that you're saying it's okay that they did what they did. But that's not it at all. You know, it's certainly not the case. And I think if you can see that what they did is not okay and it will never be okay, but you can forgive them anyways, then that's what's really gonna help you to find that forgiveness. And maybe not even just for them, but for yourself as well. I mean, I definitely had to find forgiveness for myself also.
So do you see forgiveness as an ongoing process, or do you feel like once you sort of canceled the debt that was owed to you in terms of kindness, that it was sort of over and in your past, or does it pop back up?
I think initially, you know, I felt like it was over, but then as time went on, I realized that I needed to keep forgiving, you know, because I would think about what had happened and I would get a little bit upset. And so I realized, you know, it is more of a process. And each time that I think about what happened, or I think about the people who did the things to hurt me, I realized that I need to forgive all over again, you know, and maybe not, you know, maybe not all over again, but I definitely need to be thinking about forgiveness and not, because otherwise I think you can end up going back to that place where maybe you're holding that grudge and you're feeling the resentment.
Yeah.
So I think it's something you have to be conscious of a lot of the time.
And it really can become this prison. You can't get out. The door is open, but you're still in the cell unless you decide to move on from that. And, you know, I often have wondered if people who have amnesia or something, they lose their long-term memory, if they are actually more free just because they don't have to carry any of that with them. One of the things I was interested in asking you is, from all the connections you've had and all the different people you've met and had on your shows, different people have suffered different sorts of things, but who stands out as one of the most memorable, and what was a synopsis, I guess you could say, of their story, why it touched you?
Oh, wow. That's kind of difficult to say, because I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to, I don't want to single someone out. And because the thing is that everyone's story is important, and every story that has been shared on my podcast, it's important to the person, and it's also, you know, there's going to be someone out there listening who's going to be able to identify with it. And I think that, yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to say, you know, that one has really stuck out to me more than any of the others. I think, you know, as we say, like, everyone has their own story. But I think we all have been affected by the things that we've been through in very similar ways. And that's where we can all, relate to each other. But everyone's story is unique, and it's important, and it deserves to be shared, because there are people out there who can benefit from hearing it. So yeah, that's what I'm going to have to go with. Sorry.
So as you started to learn about yourself and get some help, what were some of the things that were the most helpful for you in terms of, did you connect with a support group? Did you go to a counselor? Did you, have a journal that you wrote things in? What sort of helped you go through the process?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me was going to therapy, because I felt like I needed to go to therapy, you know, right after I got out of the bullying situation. But I was still pretty young at the time, and I hadn't even told my parents about what had happened, so therapy wasn't really an option for me then. And then I was also hesitant about going as well, because, you know, there's kind of just this whole stigma around it all, and I didn't want to be, you know, this patient. But as time went on, I realized that I needed to talk to someone, you know, because I went to school to study psychology because I thought I could help myself. Mm-hmm. But I realized that that can only take me so far, you know. And so one day, what happened was kind of a funny story, is that I was at work, and I ended up sort of having a falling out with one of my coworkers, who was also a really good friend of mine. And I realized that it was because of, you know, what I had been through. And because sometimes the things you say, the things you do, they're a result of what you've been through. But you don't always realize that at the time. It's hard to sort of make that connection sometimes. But I realized right away that I acted the way I did because I was trying to defend myself, trying to protect myself. But it wasn't the right situation to be doing that with my friend. I didn't need to be doing that. But I, you know, I didn't know any differently, and that's just how I reacted. And that was really upsetting to me that, and, you know, I realized what happened and what I'd done. And I said, you know what, I can't have this happen anymore. I can't risk this happening with another person who is important to me. And that was the spark that led me to going to therapy. And then, you know, once I went to therapy, I mean, it still took me a little while to really talk about what had happened to me, and you know, all the issues that I really needed to talk about. But once I was able to start talking about those things, then that also helped to kind of to kind of release, all those things that I was feeling. And it was really just, sometimes when you're in therapy, it's really, you feel like you're just talking to someone and you're getting some feedback, but you're not necessarily like doing specific things to work on your issues. But sometimes that's all you need is to just talk, to just put it out there. It can be very healing, and it was for me. And then from there, I started to develop more confidence in myself, and I started to put myself out there more and do more things. I got a little crazy and I went off to Europe for 2.5 weeks by myself, which surprised everybody. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna go for it. And that was huge for me as well. And so just doing things like that, and it was, again, it was just a gradual process, but continually putting myself out there, pushing myself, getting out of my comfort zone, those are the things that helped me, because what I needed was to build up my self-esteem, develop confidence in myself. And so it's when you put yourself out of your comfort zone and challenge yourself that you're able to build on that stuff. I used to be really afraid of social situations. I ended up developing some really bad social anxiety, and it was really quite a challenge for me to go hang out with friends and even to go to work in the beginning as well. And I found that the more I did, the more I put myself out there, the more I put myself in those situations where I felt really anxious. I mean, I would get just really nervous beforehand, but it was just facing that fear and fighting through the anxieties that allowed me to get comfortable in those situations eventually, such that I can go, to like conferences now and stuff, and I don't really get nervous, which is exactly.
Like a desensitizing yourself to the triggers that, Well, that's really neat. I know I've heard so many times when people who've gone through something extremely stressful that they have like a, post-traumatic stress syndrome issue, even though they didn't go to war or something, but they have been, their adrenaline has been so heightened for so long and they've been in defense mode and hurt really badly, that those seem like natural consequences of the suffering that has happened, that you develop these other adjacent anxieties and issues. I've just heard it so many times. And then it's interesting how you talk about the therapy. It's almost like that the therapy gives you a forum for developing self-awareness and how do I really feel about this? Instead of just being in a fight or flight mode, you have a safe place to ask yourself some questions that can yield some healing and some, bring some fruit into your life of just more, I guess awareness is one way to put it, but it's kind of like if you, as you know yourself better and you get better acquainted with yourself, some of the other things sort of subside. Is that sort of your experience?
Yeah, I think so. And like you said, the therapy kind of helps with self-awareness. I think that's a really good way to look at it, because sometimes, you could talk to a friend, you could talk to a family member about it, but maybe they know the situation too well. They can't really give you a good outside perspective. But when you go to therapy, they don't know you at all. When you're first starting out. And so they can really give you that outside perspective and point out things that maybe you didn't see beforehand. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to challenge you to look at things differently. You know, the other thing is that when you're in therapy, I mean, you know that it's a safe environment. Whatever you say within those four walls is going to stay there. Whereas maybe if you're talking to a friend or family member, maybe you don't feel quite so sure about that. So therapy really allows you just to open up and realize things that maybe you hadn't realized before, mm-hmm. in my experience.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how you talk about how it affected your relationship with a particular friend, and I'm assuming that it also had an influence on some of your other relationships. Did your situation and your recovery, I should say before your recovery, affect your marriage or your family interactions?
It definitely affected my relationships. Well, first off, I didn't have many relationships because of it. But it was hard because, you know, it's not easy to open up to people and to trust people. And so when you're sort of going into a relationship like that, you know, that's definitely starting things off on the wrong foot. And so it had affected things, you know, with my family, and I ended up, you know, I'm not very close to a lot of my family members mm-hmm. today, just because of what I went through and when I went through it. And it was very difficult for me at that time. And I became, you know, just very quiet and shy and kind of shut everybody out. And so a lot of my family members didn't really understand, you know, what was going on. And I think they took it personally mm-hmm. and they were, you know, I don't know if they were hurt by it, but they took it personally, and we were never able to really develop very close relationships. And I never really, you know, told them what had happened or anything. So they didn't know. And so it just led to very awkward situations. Things with my parents were a little different. I mean, I've always been able to have a pretty close relationship with them, or well, I should say at least with my mom, not so much with my dad actually, but outside of family, you know, I didn't have a lot of friends at the time, friends that I had, you know, I'd kind of lost, and I wasn't able to really make a lot of new friends. That was difficult for me. And then, you know, as I got a little older into my 20s, I didn't really date a lot. You know, it was difficult for me to do that, to put myself out there. In that way, I was very, very anxious at the time. So that was a challenge. My relationships definitely suffered for it. And I think I'm finally getting to, you know, I've got to that point now where I've been able to rebound. And now I do have a lot of great friendships, and I am married today, and that's really a great relationship that I have with my husband. But he kind of came into the picture after I had already gone through most of my recovery. Things with my family though are still kind of the way they always have been, so that hasn't really improved, and part of that also I think is because I don't really see them much anymore, just because of where I live. And so yeah, that's kind of where things are at with the relationships and how they were affected by it all.
So do they know that, are they aware of what you're doing with your website and your podcast, and has that made it easier, or is it just maybe just now starting to shift?
Yeah, that's a funny question, because I'm not sure that they know, to be honest. I actually have not told them personally.
Wow. Well, maybe this will be the
Surprise everyone. No, and it's not to like keep it from them, but I think it's partly because I don't have that close relationship, and part of me is afraid of what they might say, or what they might think. And then I have to go and, tell them my story and explain everything to them. And I don't know. I mean, I part of me, right now just prefers not to do that. So it was something I had to consider a lot when I actually started doing what I'm doing. And it was like, okay, like who do I need to tell before I put this stuff out there? And I did tell some people, but yeah, pretty much most of my family does not know. And that's it's a weird thing. It's a difficult thing, but it just kind of is what it is. So I don't know, perhaps, that will change in the future, and maybe they'll come across what I'm doing, and that'll open up the discussion. But yeah, that's kind of how it is for now.
Yeah, it's interesting when once you start doing something in the public sphere, you start building different connections and people feel really connected with you. But sometimes the people closest to you are sort of, in a way, on the outside of that, the thing that you're doing, the project that you're doing. And it can be strange, but it can also be eventually like a bridge to maybe discuss things in a different sort of way where you're not the center of the issue or something where it's your work that is the focal point. And you'll see in time what feels comfortable for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, I like to think that, or I feel sometimes like they've become sort of victims of circumstance, and just because of the timing of it all, that they are not the people who are closest to me in my life, which is unfortunate. But it's kind of how things just played out. And that's not to say that I can't, make the effort to make it different. But it's how it is right now, and it's almost like, the people who knew me back then, they're the ones who really who've really suffered from it all. Because they're the ones who have had the relationship suffer. They're the ones who, I don't really have a good connection with anymore. And so it's the people who I've met in the past, 5, 10 years that I have the best relationships with. The people
Yeah,
who
that's fair.
have come into my life since I've been able to recover and become more of who I really am. Because it's like, we get to start out on the right foot, if you will. And so that's, I don't know, it's a weird dynamic, but that's, unfortunately, how it's gone.
Well, and it's interesting, and what you're saying really touches on an interesting and important point that as we recover and become healthy, find healing and come into our more authentic and true selves, we attract people who are healthier and we can, like you're saying, start on the right foot, but it also, they're picking up from a point where you're healthier and doing better and, don't have the same troubles and anxieties that you did in the past. And so it seems like we draw people to us at a similar level of health.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I mean, I can tell you that the people who are in my life now are the people who are very similar to me. I mean, I've connected with a lot of survivors, not surprisingly, but yeah, I just find that I'm connecting with a lot of like-minded people, and people who I feel, most importantly, people who I feel safe with. Because I think that that is really important for anyone who's been hurt in the past, is once you start taking your life back, like you have to connect with the people who are not going to try to hurt you, the people who are going to support you. because that's what you're going to need to keep moving forward. It's like fuel to help you keep going forward in your life. You know, if you've got people in your life who are saying negative things or trying to hold you back, trying to keep you in your past, trying to take you down, then that's what's going to happen, you know? So,
right. Yeah.
So it's really important to have the right type of people in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that people who've struggled and then they're coming through it, they might have a deeper well of compassion to create a safe space for you and to, you know, mirror back the love that you have going that you're just now embracing in your wellness and health, which is of course always increasing. It's like, we never really get there, but we can progress. And I think it, you know, some people have told me, this idea of a family of choice, the people who, not that you need to, you know, not that everybody needs to just reject their family. I think there is a time and an appropriate time in a safe time to reconnect with family and reconnect with people. But, in terms of what you need in your regular life and who your core people and your safe people are, that is something you have to choose so carefully, because you can really have a setback when you wind up kind of going in a direction of familiar pain with somebody. And I've done it too, where you think, oh, this person seems like they would be a nice friend. And there's this little piece of them that is actually just something that reminds you of the dysfunction that you came from. And you don't realize that till it's too late. But the people who have suffered too, similarly, and they've really made a conscious effort to not just get stuck and angry and negative and cynical, but they've actually stepped out and risked, gone to therapy, got healing, sought counsel, and are actively trying to be well and grow. Those are the people who tend to be the safest because they totally get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also just wanted to say too that, you know, when you are, you know, on that road to recovery, I mean, that's when you're really vulnerable too, you know, so it's really important. It makes it even more important to find the people who are going to support you and not hurt you. Because I think the people that you surround yourself with can really make or break your recovery.
Yeah, for sure. I'm interested to know if any books or resources that you've read made any impact on you.
I started consuming a lot of personal development material. So not even necessarily books, but just material online. And that, you know, that's been a big help for me, to read about how I can, you know, constantly improve myself and become a better person. Because I think it's definitely a process. You know, it's not like you're going to get to a point one day where you're going to say, okay, I'm the best person that I can be right now, and everything is perfect in my life. You know, it's definitely going to be a process. So the important thing is to continue to feed your mind with the right kind of stuff that's going to continue to inspire you and motivate you and really just shift your mindset into thinking that, you know, you are worthy and you deserve to take care of yourself and to improve yourself, you know. So I think, you know, it's important to focus on your health and your physical body. You know, I mean, for me, exercise is huge, and just and making sure that I eat healthy, and just trying to be balanced overall. For me, I felt like when I started getting to a point where I could share my story and start helping people, you know, I felt like I was obligated to do that. You know, I wanted to try to ease the suffering of anyone who is going down the same path that I've gone down. And, you know, if there's anything that I can do to make it a little easier, a little more bearable, a little shorter, mm-hmm. you know, then I definitely want to do that.
Mm-hmm. And it's great to just knowing that you're not alone is this huge, you know, this huge trump card that you have. Like, okay, I'm not suffering alone. I'm not suffering and no one knows about it, that other people have journeyed on this too, and that it's going to be okay. And I think that's just one of those basic human needs that we have, but that we can offer too, that we can say, I've been hurt too, and let's do this together. It's just it's a big way we're connected socially, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of healing that can happen in community, really.
Mm-hmm. And so in person, do you have communities that are that help support you, or is it mostly just online?
You know, it's mostly just online. I don't really have, I guess I don't really live in the best area to find resources like that in person. Mm-hmm. But that's the great thing about the internet mm-hmm. is that we can go on there and we can connect with people all over the world. So wherever someone is, and if they need support, it's definitely out there. You know, I would just do a search for whatever type of support you're looking for, and I'm sure that you're going to be able to find something. I mean, for me, I've been able to find other survivors through social media, mostly, connecting with people a lot on Twitter mm-hmm. and a little bit on Facebook, and then just kind of, you know, building relationships from that. And it's been great. Definitely been good to know that you know, you're not alone and that there are other people out there who've been through what you've been through. Because I think a lot of people sometimes can feel like they are all alone, and that's why they don't even look to see who else is out there. Mm. So I can tell you that, you know, no matter what you've been through, you are not alone. There is someone out there who's been through it as well and would be able to relate to you and perhaps, you know, even be able to help you.
Well, I'm really happy to have you on the show. Where can listeners get a hold of you or best contact you or find your resources?
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. The best way for people is to go to my website, thegrassgetsgreener.com, and from there people can check out my podcast, which is the same name, which you can find in iTunes or Stitcher as well. If you listen on those platforms, you can check out some of the blog posts that I wrote when I first started the site last year, and you can also find the links to connect with me on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Instagram. And you can also, there's also a contact form. If you want to send me an email, I'm always happy to hear from people that way as well.
Well, it's been really great to speak with you, and I wish you all the best as you continue to share your story and have other survivors and thrivers on your show. And it means a lot to me that you could come on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been great. And, you know, I like the focus of what we talked about today and really the more positive aspects of my story. And I hope that it's been able to help at least one person who's listening, and that would make it, that'll make it worth it, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Did you know that every episode of Spark My Muse has show notes? You can find show notes at sparkmymuse.com, and in those show notes, you'll find details about the people, books, and resources that were mentioned in the show. And sometimes you'll find photos and embedded videos, too. I hope you'll stop by and check it out. A live stream discussion of this podcast can be found at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Tuesday. To find it, follow me at twitter.com/LisaDelay. Thank you.